Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, father and daughter Tom and Molly Martins have officially concluded their parole terms following their release from prison for the voluntary manslaughter of Jason Corbett. Well, for more on this, we're joined by Ralph Regal, the Irish Independent Southern correspondent. Hello, Ralph.
Hello, Claire.
So ending parole, what exactly does that mean? And in particular, in the case of Tom and Molly Martins.
Yeah, well, the father and daughter, they were convicted of murder back in 2017 following a four-week trial. They appealed that. It went all the way up to the North Carolina Supreme Court, which upheld their challenge against the murder conviction. There was plans for a retrial, but what happened, Claire, was the state struck a plea bargain agreement with the father and daughter, and that meant that they pleaded guilty to manslaughter and the murder charges were dropped. Now, there was a sentencing hearing which took place in October and November of 2023, and they were sent back to prison for another 7 months. They served just over 3.5 years under their initial murder conviction, and then they were sent back for a further 7 months. And as part of their release, they were subjected to a 12-month period of parole. If they didn't comply with the period of parole, or if they were found to have breached the terms of their good behaviour within prison, they would have served a much longer term. I think it would have pushed them up to very close to being the 5-year mark. However, the fact that they have adhered to their parole conditions means that they will have served in total 4 years and 3 months behind bars for the brutal killing of Mr. Corbett while he slept in the bedroom of his house in North Carolina on August the 2nd, 2015.
And the parole restrictions then, they were around movement and where they were living and so on, weren't they?
Yeah, very much so. And there's an agreement within states in the US, Claire, whereby states allow people, for instance, if you're from Tennessee, North Carolina will strike a deal with Tennessee that Tennessee will supervise your parole provisions if you want to return to your home state. And in this particular case, there was a number of parole restrictions. First of all, there could be no contact whatsoever with the direct or indirect with the family of Mr. Corbett. Secondly, both Tom and Molly had to be of good behavior. Tom, of course, is a retired FBI officer, and Molly, of course, had traveled to Ireland to work as a nanny for Mr. Corbett, whose wife had died just over a year previously. Of course, what he wasn't aware of is that she had quite a history of mental health difficulties. They married in June of 2011, but just a couple of weeks before they got married, she had gone to divorce lawyers to see what her entitlements were to the children. And she was informed that because she wasn't their birth mother, she had no entitlements. She desperately tried to get Mr. Corbett, of course, it was a Limerick-based packaging executive and a father of two, to sign adoption papers, but he wouldn't do so. And then with her father, he was beaten to death with a metal baseball bat and a concrete paving slab as he slept in August of 2015. So their parole restrictions where they couldn't contact the family of Mr. Corbett, they had to be of good behavior, and they could not live together, which is an interesting point, Claire, because in the US they take a view that a convicted felons cannot live together amid fears of recidivism.
Mm-hmm. Just on that point, the parole condition that they couldn't contact Jason Corbett's family, is that restriction lifted now if the parole has ended?
Now, my understanding is that that's part of their general sentence. So I think that still remains in place, but that's not been clarified by the North Carolina authorities. Certainly, the judge in this case put a lot of emphasis on the fact that there was to be no contact, direct, indirect, or electronic or via social media, between either the father and daughter or any member of the direct family of Mr. Corbett, but in particular, his two children, Jack and Sarah.
Mm-hmm. So now that this restriction on Tom and Molly living together, that'll be lifted. Does that mean, or is it expected, that Molly will move back in with her parents, Tom and Sharon?
Yeah, it is. It is expected that she will move back. Now, they're from Knoxville in Tennessee, and because of the parole restrictions, Molly could not move back and live in the family home. Now, Sharon Martins, her mother, had been diagnosed with cancer, and that was one of the things there was a lot of emphasis placed on during the sentencing hearing. So Tom, immediately on his release from prison in June of last year, he returned to the family home in Knoxville with his wife Sharon. But up until now, Molly had been living in the basement of a neighbour's house. It's just up the road from where the Martins family home is, but she was not in a position to live there full time because of the parole restriction. now that it's lifted, it is expected that she will return to the family home.
And this is front of mind for so many people, including so many people internationally who might never have heard of the case up to now because of that Netflix documentary, which was number one for a while, certainly in this country, but was top 10 in many other countries as well, Ralph.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it was an extraordinary piece of work. It was made with the cooperation of Mr. Corbett's family in Limerick. I mean, in particular, Tracy, his sister, who was one of those that really fronted the campaign for justice for her brother. And of course, Jack and Sarah, Mr. Corbett's two children. They're both adults now. Sarah, in fact, wrote a best-selling book earlier this year, A Time for Truth, whereby she tried to address a lot of the issues that had been raised by the trial, in particular, the behaviour of Molly Martins throughout the proceedings. And certainly in the US, it's extraordinary that this had been such a high-profile case in Ireland, Clare, for 10 years. But yet, there was a lot of people in the US which weren't overly familiar with it, and I think probably an indictment of US society because only one person had died.
Yeah, I mean, but it, as you say, it was an incredible film, and if anybody hasn't seen it, it's really worth sitting down and witnessing just the toll it took on the Corbett family, but also how strong they've been. And we've had this conversation before, in particular his two children. They've just been through so much, but their resilience is extraordinary. It's remarkable.
It is, Claire. And I think if anybody needs a little bit of inspiration in the world we live in, and God knows we all need a bit of it, given the news at the moment between the Middle East and Eastern Europe and whatever, I mean, you only have to look at these two children. I mean, despite all that life has thrown at them, they've maximized their talents. They have become incredible members of a wonderful family in Limerick. They've very much, I mean, done their mom and dad proud in terms of, you know, their studies, what they've done with their lives afterwards. I mean, Sarah in particular is a remarkable girl. I mean, I don't want to single anyone out, but like Sarah did her Leaving Cert last year, she decided to postpone her third level studies because she wanted to train as a deep sea diver, which she actually achieved. She's written two books at the age of, she's 19 now. She wrote a children's book to try and help children who are in the same position that she was in terms of struggling to deal with loss. And she wrote a best-selling book earlier this year about her experiences at the hands of Molly Martin. So all in all, I mean, Jack and Sarah really are inspirations.
They certainly are, Ralph. And you've been so closely involved with the case over all of those years as well. Thank you so much, Ralph. Ralph Regal there, the Irish Independent Southern Correspondent.